Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And you'll find this starting on page 1529 of your pew Bibles. For the kingdom of heaven, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one had hired us," they answered. The landowner said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired at about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So those came who hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." But the landowner answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who is hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. I am a younger man, which, if I had said that last week with the congregations I just left, would have made sense because everyone was retired. But here, there's a little bit more diversity of age. So some of you probably do think I'm an old man, and some of you are probably like, "Oh my gosh, you're just still a baby." But today we're going with, I'm a younger man. I'm at the beginning of my career, not the very beginning, but early in my career. And I'm still at a point where seniority is a bit of a thorn in my side. Now, as a pastor, it's a little bit different, but there are still things that positions that I would never be considered for right now, jobs that I would never be considered for. No one's calling me to become an executive presbyter. No one's nominating me to be moderator of the General Assembly. But I'm getting to an age where seniority is going to stop being a burden or that thorn in my side or that barrier, and it's going to start being a benefit. But I'm still younger, and so I still see what the younger worker thinks about seniority, because you look at the person who's been there for a long time, and you do the same work, you do the same quality of work, you have the same skills, and in some cases you have more skills, and you're being paid less. And you struggle with this. And I'm seeing somebody shaking their head no. I know that the world is changing. I get that. But there is still some of this seniority that goes on. And so the young worker has a point. I'm doing the same work. I deserve the same pay. But the old worker also has a point. I've put in my time. I've given my loyalty. I've sacrificed to be here. I deserve to have those things rewarded. In this conversation, the experienced worker and the new worker both have a point. They both have something to argue about, and they both aren't just saying words. They have something to say. But I think it's important to remember that when we have this conversation, we're talking about fair pay. We're talking about an employer who's giving fairly, not taking advantage. We are certainly not talking about an employer who is taking advantage, who's underpaying. But this conversation also doesn't assume that the employer is overpaying everyone. Because when you talk about this conversation, but everyone's overpaid, it just doesn't hold the same weight. Before I came here, basically from the time I graduated seminary till about 2 weeks ago, I did media production work for Mediacom. We filmed high school sporting events and news programs and stuff like that. And to say I was wildly overpaid would be an understatement. We were paid for a 10-hour day. No matter how long we worked, we were paid for a 10-hour day. And on the couple of occasions that I actually worked 10 hours, I felt like that I just barely earned my money. Just barely were they paying me the right amount of money. But rarely, if ever, did I work 10 hours. Most of the time, I worked 5 hours. At 5 hours, I was wildly overpaid. Just wildly overpaid. And I mean, there were times that were worse. There was one time where we worked 97 minutes and we got paid our 10-hour rate. There was a day that I cleaned the studio for 75 minutes. I got paid my 10-hour rate. I was wildly overpaid, and this isn't to stand up here and brag. Please don't hear that. But to just get this image of, if you complain about somebody getting paid slightly more when you are overpaid yourself, it doesn't carry the same weight. Because every time we had a thing, well, most of the time, most of the guys were pretty good, but every once in a while, we'd have a production, and somebody would show up late because they had a family thing going on, or because their day job went late. And somebody would complain because they were getting more pay because they were putting in less work. And usually, we answered that with a resounding, just stop. It's not worth it. Because again, if you're complaining about pay rate, but everyone's overpaid, it doesn't hold the same weight. And this parable that Jesus is giving to these disciples that are gathered, you have workers at the beginning and they are day laborers. And a denarius is worth about a day's wages. But it might be more helpful to understand if you think about these day laborers were probably never earning a regular day's wage. They were probably worth less. They were just standing in the marketplace hoping somebody would hire them. No one's paying them a full day's rate on a usual basis. That's just not how it was probably going to work. So you can assume that those men that were gathered at the beginning of the day, they were being very well compensated for their work. Maybe they earned their work. Maybe they were worth a denarius, but they weren't typically going to gain a full denarius for their work, for being a day laborer. The fact that the vineyard owner hired them and paid them well was very generous. So their complaint is not that the vineyard owner was generous. Their complaint was not that the other people didn't put in work. Nothing in this parable implies that the workers did not work when they got there. We can assume that the people who got there at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour worked hard the whole time that they were in the field. No one was getting fired for the quality of their work or the level of their effort. No one was perfect, but everyone was putting out good work. So the only complaint that the first group has is that the landowner is more generous with someone else. He's quite generous with those first workers. But he's being more generous to someone else. And they're quite angry about that. I get it. But is that really what we want? Do we want to look at somebody who is being generous and say, you're not allowed to be more generous to somebody else than you are to me? Is that what we want to say? You're not allowed to show your generosity more to somebody else than to me. I don't deserve the generosity you're giving me. But how dare you be more generous to someone else? Is that the precedent that we want to set in our lives? Well, this parable it's a pretty easy parable to see the parts. You have the workers are clearly faithful people, or the disciples. The landowner is clearly God, and the payment that they receive is clearly the salvation that they are going to be given through Christ. And yet, the reason Jesus is telling this parable is because some of them want to draw a line in the sand and say, we have been with you since the beginning. We've sacrificed more. And so either we deserve it and someone else does, or we deserve more of your generous mercy. But again, these disciples were aware that they didn't deserve what they were being given. That's the whole point, is that the generosity, they don't deserve the generosity. So they're not arguing that they're more worthy. They're arguing that they're less unworthy than somebody else. And so they believe that they should be getting more. Even though they're not worthy of what they're getting, they're less unworthy than somebody else, so they should be getting more. This isn't just a problem with the disciples that are following Jesus. This is a problem throughout Scripture, and this is a problem in our world. I chose the Jonah passage because it's perfect. It's the perfect description. God had been merciful to Jonah. God could have left Jonah in the belly of the great fish and let him be digested and let him die. And yet he spit him out on land. God was generously merciful to Jonah. And yet Jonah gets angry because that generous mercy extends to somebody else. Think about that for a second. Thank you for showing me generous mercy, but how dare you show somebody else generous mercy? I'm going to get furious because you showed somebody else the same generous mercy that you showed me. And it continues. It's with the disciples. They think that they deserve an extra portion. And then when Jesus dies and comes back and the Christian church is started, there are some that believe that those who were Jewish before deserved a higher place, deserved more power, were more deserving of the generous mercy that we have received. Even though none of us are worthy of it, we're struggling with the, are we less unworthy than somebody else? That's not me. I hope. I'm guilty of it too. We are guilty of it in the Christian church today as well. Those who've put in their time, those who've been in church every Sunday, those who just are there, you can get it in your mind that you've earned something, that you have earned something that somebody else hasn't earned. Get it in your mind and just start to believe it real firmly. But that isn't the case. We haven't earned our salvation. We haven't earned what we have been given. We haven't earned God's generous mercy. That's not how it works. Jesus would be totally unnecessary if we could earn God's generous mercy. And our desire to draw a line in the sand and say these people are less unworthy enough to receive it and these people don't deserve it or are more unworthy than we are, when you draw a line in the sand to separate you from somebody else and put yourself on the right side of it, you will quickly find yourself on the wrong side of that line in the sand. Because you can't draw a line to say this person is worthy enough. I mean, not really worthy, but worthy enough. We all need God's eternal and infinite and boundless generous mercy. We can't survive. We don't get salvation if we don't have all of it. And so for me, when I read this passage, I can definitely sit here and make this a convicting stop judging each other. And absolutely, please stop doing that. But for me, the point of this is that the first workers should have just been thankful for the denarius they received. Even if they received it last, even if per hour they earned less, they should have been thankful for the denarius they received. And so we as Christians should stand up and celebrate and praise God because we have been given generous mercy. We have been given Christ. So that's it. We're not trying to tell someone that we're not getting angry at God because somebody else is receiving the generous mercy. We're not drawing lines in the sand. We are simply worshiping and praising God because we have received generous mercy. You are loved and you are saved. And so worship God for that. And let God worry about separating us out. You are loved. You are saved. Stand up, praise, and celebrate, and be thankful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.